going to be in Judges chapter 3 today. So we have been working, we're not going to hit all the book of Judges, but we are going to touch upon the judges, the people that are referred to as judges. And that may seem like a weird thing. Maybe they did hear cases like we do in our courts, but they were more of a spiritual leader or a deliverer for the people of Israel. So the people of Israel move into the promised land, the land that God had promised to them, right? And God helped them defeat their enemies. They get into this new place, and everything was going to be fine and hunky-dory. Can we use that word, hunky-dory? But the people served God during the time of Joshua, but then after Joshua, they began to pick up the practices of the nations that they had defeated, the Canaanites, the Philistines, so the Baals, the Asherahs, those gods. And we're giving looking at a new god here today. And so they would fall into these practices. They intermarried with the people. And so over time, they fell away from serving God. And so then God would say, hey, if that's what's going to happen, I'm going to allow your enemies to enslave you, have you in bondage. And so then all of a sudden things would get bad, and they would cry out to God, and God would deliver them, raise up a judge. So so far we've looked at Othniel. Okay, we looked at him. And from Othniel, we looked at what true freedom is. It's for all believers. I guess we did that on the 4th of July, that when we disobey God, it opens up the door to bondage. Maybe we can come to God, and God forgives us of our sin. We can find freedom. But if we go back to that life of sin, or we allow sin into our life again, we enslave ourselves all over again. So Paul even talks about that in the book of Galatians. And then that repentance sets the stage for deliverance in the power of the Spirit. And then Ehud was just a little while ago, and Ehud was left-handed. You know what? And we have a few lefties here, right? But left, you know, that's less than 10% of the population. Back then, it was probably much less. And sometimes it was seen as a curse. You're an outcast if you were left-handed. But that's who Ehud was. But God used his uniqueness to help him take out the king of Moab, and it's a pretty interesting story. And so, parents, you can read that story to your kids at bedtime and get into the details on that. All right, a little tongue-in-cheek there. All right, God is looking for leaders who know him and know his voice. Use your uniqueness towards his advantage. So it was him being left-handed that really caught the king of Moab off guard, and so Ehud was able to dispose of him. And then people become true, will follow true leaders. So today we're going to talk about Shamgar, the third judge in the book of Judges. But we don't even actually know, was he a judge or was he just a normal guy that did a heroic act? Okay, there is some discussion on that, but we're going to look at Shamgar. So how many have heard a message about Shamgar? Did you know Shamgar was even mentioned in the Bible? All right. Okay, so I've never heard a message on Shamgar, I don't think. So I am going to preach on Shamgar. It is one verse, okay? You could probably memorize it by the time we are done today, all right? But we're going to look at Shamgar, and yes, I am going to get 3 points out of this, so we'll go from there. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that it is the living Word of God that speaks into our life. It's able to correct, to guide, to give us hope, strength, to know us, how to know God. And so, Lord God, we pray in these moments that your Spirit is here to work in our hearts and our lives. We give you the praise. We ask it in your name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Clarence. You're right on it, man. Let's look at verse 31 of chapter 3. All right, and Shamgar gets one verse. So after Ehud, we know that Ehud, after he brought deliverance from Moab, they had 80 years of peace, okay? But all of a sudden, some more things happen. And actually, Shamgar and Deborah seem like they are contemporaries. Some of the things that they deal with happened at the same time, okay? So after Ehud came Shamgar, son of Anath. There we go, Anath, who struck down 600 Philistines, say 600 Philistines, with an ox goad. Say ox goad. And he too saved Israel. So let's look at this. I know what you're thinking. Pastor Brent, how are we going to get a message out of this one verse Well, we will. All right. So you ready? First of all, we're going to see that Shamgar was the son of Anath, right? So what that maybe doesn't mean anything to you, but if you look into it, Anath was the Canaanite goddess of war, all right? The Canaanite goddess of war. We know the Canaanites were one of the people that Israel defeated to some degree, but they still lived in the land, and Canaan was the area that they took over, okay? The promised land was considered the land of Canaan. And so this lady was known as the goddess of war, the sister and wife of Baal. Okay, so Baal was the calf, the golden calf. It was a fertility god, and so they would make sacrifices to Baal and worship Baal in hopes that their crops would be productive, their livestock would be well, that they would have big families. And so it was a god of these heathen nations, the Canaanites. And so Anath was that. She was the goddess, the female goddess of war, the sister, I don't know how she can be the sister and wife of Baal, but that's what they're telling me. All right? What do we know? So we don't know exactly for sure here, so we are reading into a little bit. We're trying to read between the lines, okay? But the fact that it mentions that Shamgar is the son of Anath would indicate that he probably was not Hebrew. He was not probably Jewish. He was probably very much Canaanite. Somebody that was part of that land that had become a worshiper of Jehovah, of the God of Israel. At some point, he had accepted God as his Lord and his Savior. So that's a story in itself. But we see that a Gentile man, that he left his practices and the gods of his people to worship the God of Israel and Yahweh. Now, there's several people that did that in Scripture. Abraham came from a heathen nation. They worshiped many gods, and he left his people to follow the one true God. He says, I know you don't know me, but follow me, and I will make you into a great nation. And God fulfilled that to Abraham. I think of others that I'll mention here. So there's several examples in Scripture of people that came from a Gentile bloodline and heathen background who later became devoted followers of God. Ruth, right? She was a Moabite, and she becomes a significant, she's in the bloodline of Christ. Rahab, she was a prostitute. Beyond that, being a Gentile, she gets grafted into the family God bloodline of Christ. Many of them, yeah. There's just examples of the Gentile people being brought in. And it appears that Shamgar was one of these as well. He was not of the people of God, but at some point he adopts Christ. We don't probably didn't refer to as Christ, but Yahweh would have been the name that he would have used as his God, and he worships him. So what's the principle here? Don't let your past determine your future. Maybe you've been raised in a God-fearing home. Okay, many of the Israelites had grown up knowing the faith, knowing about God since they were infants. And we have some young ones here. So Benjamin's listening, and he's all into my message this morning. All right? And so maybe some of you come from that environment, but maybe some of you didn't come to know Christ until you were adult or maybe even later on in life. That doesn't mean that you are nobody, that you can't make a difference for the kingdom of God. In the Bible and down through history, you see people being used from various backgrounds, many of them from secular and godless backgrounds, and God saves them, redeems them, and uses them for his purpose and for his glory. I think of Nikki Cruz, so that's going to be going back a little bit, way before some of you were born. All right, but if you know David Wilkerson and his ministry, and the ministry he started with Teen Challenge, Brooklyn Tabernacle would kind of flow out of that, some of that as well. But David Wilkerson started Teen Challenge, but he was a small town preacher that went to Brooklyn, New York, and began reaching some of the gangs. I mean, he was totally out of his element, but God used him. And so one of the people who could get saved, one of these gang members, was Nikki Cruz. And so there's a movie about it. There's a book about it, The Cross and the Switchblade. So you can still find that and read that today, see his testimony. I believe he's still alive. David Wilkerson has gone to be with the Lord, but Nikki Cruz is still alive. And it was a marvelous testimony of how God took somebody who was living off the streets. He was a gang member, probably had killed people, done drugs and everything else. God saved him, redeemed him, and gave him a hope and a future. Now, there's a more relevant one, and I mentioned this already when I was doing my sound check. Hulk Hogan. All right, how many are you professional wrestler fans? How many know who Hulk Hogan is, right? Yeah, he was known for what? When he get in the ring, he would rip. I'm not going to rip my shirt, okay? All right. But he was known for that. He was part of the professional wrestling crowd, kind of an icon there. But he passed away just a couple weeks ago, July 24th, 2025. He passed away, had a heart attack. But he committed his life to Christ back in 2023, was baptized. Both him and his wife were baptized in water. It was a very public thing. For 18 months, he has lived very public about his faith, was instrumental in leading other professional wrestlers to God, even some that he never saw eye to eye with. And yet, when he publicly came out about his faith, other people put their faith in him, and he influenced the lives of other people for 18 months. Don't let your past determine your future or your destiny. And so I believe when we get to heaven, we're going to see Nikki Cruz, but we're going to maybe see Hulk Hogan, Clarence. You can give him a fist bump, right?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, there you go. All right. Don't let your past determine your future. I don't know where God is. You know, some things we have control over. Some things you have no control over, the family you were born in, the circumstances you're born into. But don't let that define you. Become who God has called you to be and let his glory shine through your life. Amen? Number two. After Ehud came Shamgar, son of Anath, who struck down 600 Philistines with a ox goad. And he too saved Israel. Do you know what an ox goad is? There it is. It is. It was about 6 to 8 feet long, and it had that point on it. And so you can imagine Shamgar tilling his field with a single plow. Okay, that's what they did, right? And he probably had a yoke of oxen in front. And, you know, they were out there in the heat of the day, and it's kind of like, okay, we're done working. And he goes, no, you're not. Right? Right? And, ooh, okay. And so then they would move along. That's what the ox goad was for, is to kind of get them going if they decided they wanted to take a break when it wasn't time to take a break. An ox goad. And so there's the picture. What were the times like when Shamgar did this? Well, if you go to Judges 5:6, it says, it's a reference back to Shamgar. It says, in the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, so this is a lady, and we're going to learn more about her in the story of Deborah. She's a judge, the only female judge, so that'll be in 2 weeks. It says that the highways, they had highways back then. Did you know that? They had highways back there. Okay. I don't know what the speed limit was, but okay. All right. They had highways, but they were abandoned. Why? And travelers took winding roads because of the fear of the Canaanites, the Philistines, and the other people that were there. It just wasn't safe, all right? It was unruly times, and so if you traveled, you traveled at your own risk. And so it was difficult days. So it was during that time period that Shamgar is living, and then also Deborah would bring deliverance. It was tough times. People feared to travel the roads. If they would be attacked, robbed, or killed, right? Their crops, their livestock, homes maybe were at risk, their livelihood. It threatened not only their ability to live, but to survive. There was no peace, there was no safety, there was no prosperity. Just think about that. Just think of what we take for granted in our country, in our nation, with law enforcement. You know, our country's not perfect, but you go to some countries. If you've done any bit of traveling, you can be grateful for what we have in place here, the security that is there. That wasn't the case during Shamgar's time. And so let's assume that Shamgar is out in his field one day. He has his oxen out there. He has his ox goad. He's prodding his oxen along. And as he's plowing his field, maybe preparing to put the seed in the ground, All of a sudden, on the horizon, come over the hill, comes this group of Philistines. At least 600 of them, if not more. And here they come, and they have a beeline for him. What would you do? What would you do? Would you run for your life? Would you surrender? That may be an option. Plead for their mercy? Or would you stand your ground? What would you do? Shamgar chooses to stand his ground. Now, that's not in here, but we have to read into the story. He has his ox goats. It would make sense that he is plowing his field with his ox. The Philistines come, and he says, you know, not today. You're not going to have my field. You're not going to have my oxen. You're not going to intimidate me, not today, even if it costs me my life. So he takes his ox goat. He took on the attackers with the tool, the weapon. It's not really a weapon. It was a tool, but he knew how to use it. The second principle is here, operate within your giftedness and resources. I don't know if Shamgar even knew how to use a sword. Maybe he did, but it wasn't what he chose. It maybe wasn't on him. It's kind of like, oh, I left it back at the house, right? I don't know if he could hit a bullseye at 50 yards with a bow. I don't know if he even owned a bow. What we do know is he knew how to use an ox goad, and he had it with him. And so where are my young boys today? How many are Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle fans, right? I don't know if he had some ninja in him or what, but he took his ox goad, and he protected his field and his livelihood. He said, not today. He operated within his giftedness, and it's like, whoo, whoo. You know, I don't know what it looked like, right? But 600 Philistines died that day, folks. They were armed, it sounds like. They were ready for battle, and he wasn't. All he had was his ox goad. I think about David. He took on Goliath, right? And King Saul says, you know, I appreciate your faith and your confidence, your determination, but you can't go out there just with a sling and what you have here to have my shield, my armor. And David says, no, I can't go with this. It's too big for me. It's too heavy. I have to go with what I know. So he takes the stones and the sling, and he goes out to meet Goliath. There's something, too, that you have to go with what you are confident in and what you're familiar with. And say, God, you have to take that and multiply it and use it for your ability. Be who you are. Don't try to be a Saul when you are a David. You following me? And I think sometimes within the body of Christ, we want to be somebody else. We want to even have somebody else's giftings. We've talked about that here in the last few weeks. Be who God has called you to be and let God flow through you and use your uniquenesses. If you're left-handed, say, God, hey, I'm left-handed. I'm not like 90% of the people, but use my left hand for your glory and your honor, right? There's things that you can do that others can't, right? Because you're left-handed, right? Shamgar knew how to use an ox goad, and so he was able to do things maybe that others couldn't. And God used that. Operate within your giftedness. You following me? You all have your own giftedness, your temperament, your giftings. Use those for God's glory and his honor and operate within them. Don't try to be somebody else. Be the best version of you that you can be. Amen? I should hear more amens there. Amen. All right. Okay. You are God's craftsmanship created in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Each one of you. Amen. Amen. Number three. This leads us to our final point. So Shamgar, let's read that verse again. After Ehud came Shamgar, son of Anath, who struck down 600 Philistines with an ox goad. He too, you know, it's kind of like, he too saved Israel, right? He's kind of an add-on, right? So one Philistine came at Shamgar. Now, this is not in Scripture, so I'm reading between the lines, okay? I don't think he took them all out at 600 at one time. It was only 6-8 feet long. There's no way he could have done that, okay? But what I foresee is that one Philistine came at him, and whoom, one falls down. Whoom, another one falls down. Before the day was done, 600 Philistine bodies line the landscape. And Shamgar's still standing. You tell me how that can happen. Now, I think maybe he was, you know, maybe he was really good with that thing. But I get the impression that the Philistines were armed. And he took them out. And so I believe Shamgar was good with an ox goad, but I think God came along and helped him in the process. Amen? Right? It was evident that God was fighting with him. And we see that in the book of Joshua, where it says that as Israel went forward, God fought for them. Third principle is that God shows up when we act in faith. There again, I don't think it appears that Shamgar was not a Jewish person. He was not part of Israel, but he became grafted into Israel because he had accepted Yahweh as his God. And he acts in faith maybe more than some of the Israelites did. And he said, not today, I'm going to stand up, I'm going to protect my field, I'm going to protect my livelihood, and I'm going to take on these Philistines. And as he stood in faith, God showed up, sparing his life, his field, his oxen, his home. And guess what? He provided deliverance for Israel. And you know what? There's one verse of him in Scripture that says, Shamgar took out 600 Philistines. You know what? Sometimes we feel like we're a nobody. Nobody knows who we are. We're not famous. We're maybe not gifted like other people, whether athletically, brain-wise, giftedness. And we say, man, I'm just a nobody. You know what? I think maybe Shamgar was maybe a nobody. Maybe that's what he was out there plowing his field. I don't think he was a prideful man. I think he was a humble farmer that was doing his thing. And one day he had to do something, and he was going to stand up and protect his field, and he did what had to be done. You following me? And as he did, God showed up and helped him fight that battle that day. And so at the end of the day, 600 Philistines are on the ground, and Shamgar is still standing. I believe that when God's people step out in faith, he does show up. I'm not talking about being stupid. I am talking about, though, doing acts of faith. When there's that conviction that there's a wrong being done, and we say there has to be something that's made right. And we stand up for our faith. We represent godly causes. We share Christ with the world around us. And when we do, I believe that God shows up. You know what? You may think, you know what? I am a nobody. I come from rural Nebraska, a smaller church. You know what? Nobody's ever going to know who I am. You know what? But who knows? Who knows if we don't have somebody here that could lead not only hundreds of people to Christ, but maybe thousands? Who knows? You know, I grew up in North Dakota. I don't think that's a surprise. But you know what? When you look at the history of North Dakota, the spiritual leaders, especially for our fellowship that came out of North Dakota, is pretty significant. And a lot of those came out of small rural churches. And during my lifetime, Raymond Carlson was one of our national superintendents, general superintendents. But he came out of a small town in Crosby, North Dakota. All right, anybody know where Crosby's at? Okay, you can go there. I don't know if they have a restaurant there. It's called the Red Rooster. I don't know if it's still there or not, but that was back in the day, that was the place to get a breakfast. But back in the day, there was a thriving small church there, and that's where he got saved and came to know Christ, became one of our national world leaders, influencing that. And so never think that your background or where God has called you from, all that defines who you are. Let God flow through you and let him move through you and let his spirit guide and direct your life. I'm having the musicians come. You know, Shamgar appears to come from that heathen background, but somewhere along the way, he came to worship the true and living God. And when he's threatened by the Philistines, he defends his turf and God shows up to give him the victory. Not only his crops were saved, the oxen, his life, the lives of his family. We don't know if he had a wife and children. Let's say he does. But they're spared. And you may never go out and kill 600 Philistines with an ox goad, okay? But maybe you'll be used to bring 600 people into a relationship with Christ. Wouldn't that be cool? Maybe that number's too low. Maybe it's 6,000 or more. I don't know how many people, Billy Graham, somebody could probably ask, could find out for me real fast, how many people are credited to have responded to Billy Graham, his crusades. But he came from a pretty humble beginning. But somebody led him to Christ. We don't know his name much, but we know Billy Graham. Who knows, maybe you're not even the vessel that God will use mightily, but maybe you lead somebody to Christ and they're the person that leads all those people to Christ. You know, God can strike up conversations in a lot of different places. We're picking out paint for our kitchen at Home Depot. And I don't know what day was that, Thursday, Friday, Monday. It was Monday or Tuesday. So I was showing the lady that was going to mix the paint or whatever. She was at the paint booth. And talked to her, and I was just going to show her pictures. Well, on there on my phone was the pictures of the baptism. Right? And she saw that. Oh, she goes, wow. She goes, when is Jesus going to come back, she said. And she just talked about her baptism and that when her son was 5, he was swimming accident, paralyzed him. So she has to be in her 70s, still taking care of her son. We just talked about the Lord just for a few minutes. You just never know where God's going to bring up those conversations. It could be at Walmart. It could be at school, at work. But the Holy Spirit can guide and direct our lives. Amen? So can I pray over you? One, for salvation, whether you're listening or here, you don't know Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And then I just a prayer blessing over your life. So would you stand this morning? So the prayer of salvation, there's nothing magical about it, but it is, if it's yours, if you make it yours, I believe it begins the process to know Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And so let's pray this prayer together, saying, Dear God, come into my heart and my life. Be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of all my sin. Cleanse me and make me pure. I ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. I believe if we make that our prayer, begins the journey to know Christ and to walk in a relationship with Him. And so, Lord God, I just pray a second prayer. I just pray over each one here, Lord. So many of us, deep down, we want to be somebody. We want to be known for what we do, who we are. To be known. That's just kind of an innate within us. And Lord God, you said that we're redeemed, we're created by you, we're fearfully and wonderfully made, each and every one of us. And so Lord God, reinforce that this morning, just your love for us. And Lord God, I don't know if our names will ever be mentioned in heaven or not. What I do know, Lord, is that you've called us to make a difference in our world. And that looks different for each of us. You've placed your spirit within each of us, and you've called us to do things, whether we're a doctor or a lawyer, whether we work at Walmart or a hardware store, whether we're in school or in college, whether we're a carpenter or a welder. God, you place us in different aspects and areas of our world and our communities. Lord God, you want to shine your presence through our life. Each of us is like a prism, and that as you shine your beauty and your glory and your presence through our lives, it's a different look. It's beautiful. It's brilliant. And it looks different because each of us is unique in our own special way. And Lord God, you want to shine your glory through our lives. You don't want us to be like somebody else. You want us to be who you've created us to be. And Lord God, to be people of faith, to stand up for what we believe, and that aren't afraid or ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but will take that gospel to the world that so desperately needs to hear it. And so, Lord God, speak to your people this morning. I don't know how what you're speaking to each one, Lord God, but Lord God, give us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to your church, to your people. We give you the thanks, Lord Jesus. Let's worship the Lord together and sing this song. Amen. Amen. Just with your eyes closed, but if that's you today, you say, God, I'm giving my heart completely to you, to use you, use me as you would like to, Lord God. If that's you, would you just raise your hand just as a sign that, hey, I'm all in. Amen. Raise that hand. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Father, you see those hands, Lord God. That's what all you want of us is to live our lives that are completely abandoned to you. That God, you have all of us. Maybe, God, maybe we're a Shamgar. We don't have the titles and the positions that Paul had. But God, you redeemed us. You called us by name. And we belong to you. And you desire to shine your beauty, your power, and your presence through our lives. God, you have us. So God, work in our lives and work through us to touch the world just as you want us to do, Lord. Lord God, we give you the thanks. We ask in your name. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Christy, bye. Can I just call on you short notice? I just want you to come and close us out, but would you pray for general counsel? You've been there. You've never been there? I thought maybe you and Jim, but we got business, and we got a pretty large gathering with fine arts there. We take over the whole Orlando Convention Center. But just for safety, sometimes just in the world we live in, but just even decisions that are being made, and that God's presence is there. So, yeah.
I think the Assembly of God is a great denomination. I've traveled many places in the world, and what the work that the Assembly of God's doing here in America, but around the world, is mind-blowing sometimes. Just the churches, like you said, every minute a church is established in another country, in another place. And so we were able to be a part of that. And Jim was a Shamgar. You know, he just went and did a lot of things. And so let's pray for our denomination and for just the Lord to continue to work and to move. Lord, we do stand here with our hearts humbled before you, knowing that your greatest desire is that all would come to faith in you, that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and people don't know that. And so, Lord, I pray that you would continue to touch our church, our denomination, and everywhere it is established, Lord God, that we would have victory over the enemy in these areas. Lord, I pray that you continue to open up doors and to call people to go and call us, Lord, to go and to shine your love, your light, wherever we might be. And so, Lord, today we come together as a congregation as well, and we ask that you would bless all of our leaders coming together in Florida. Lord, I pray for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Lord, how we were birthed as in a church, as a denomination, was because of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the move of the Spirit and missions. Lord, that was our beginning. So, Lord, I pray that you would touch our leaders, Lord, from all over the United States. And that, Lord, as they gather, that you would pour out your Spirit upon them. And that, Lord, you would revive the call of the Assembly of God to touch the world before you come back. That everywhere people would hear and know who you are. Lord, I pray for divine wisdom and knowledge, Lord, as people to gather together and discuss the future and how do we go and reach this generation and the things that we should do and the things that we shouldn't do. We just pray that you would touch, Lord God, all of the people this week. Lord, I pray for a new, renewed commitment of every pastor, every leader that goes there, that they know why they were called and for what reason and what purpose for such a time as this, Lord. We just pray for your outpouring of your Spirit, Lord, for a new touch, for a new fire, fan into flame. Lord God, the embers that might be going cold, that, Lord, as they meet together, there would be a renewed hope for the future and for heaven. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for the moment that we were able to hear of you and accept you as our Lord and Savior. Lord, let that continue. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise God. God bless you this morning. If you need prayer, Christy, I'm going to have you, and Gary, if you're able to, if you need prayer this morning, just want somebody to agree with you, they'll be up here. So God bless you this morning. Greet each other as you leave.